All right, Jack. One take. You ready?
Yes.
You got the intro music all picked out?
Yeah, we just heard it. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, we don't actually have it picked out. I think we need to perform it.
We're performing the intro
music. Yeah, we're performing it right now. You ready? We're just two goats in a boat. Two goats in a boat. All right. Welcome to New Life Church's Equipping Podcast. This is Ryan Bondi.
I'm Jack Diven.
And in the words of Kyle Chase, man, it is a gift to get to speak to you in your ears this time of day, whenever it is for you.
Yeah, I love when he starts his sermon with those 25 words in that order, every single sermon.
Yes, but he means them, and that's what matters. This is the first podcast, and we've spent a lot of time getting this figured out, and we're excited to be able to talk with you all today, whatever day that is. And this podcast theme, this specific episode, is how to win at fall retreat. So Jack, how do you win at fall retreat?
Well, there's a number of ways to win. I think you're referring to some specific, more spiritual ways, or some, since this is the Equipping Podcast, some ways to win as a leader or someone who cares about the retreat going well for people in a number of senses. But the simplest way, if I'm wrong about all that, is you just have a really good quarterback.
Yes, that is true. I am meaning in deeper ways than just the football tournament. Obviously, if I meant the football tournament, you would be asking me how to win a fall retreat, given that I am the most recent victor of it.
True.
Moving along quickly, this isn't just about football. Yes, Jack, we are talking about how to win a fall retreat. Good mindsets, tips and tricks, things to be thinking about.
Yeah, tools of the trade.
All right. So let's start with some of the bigger picture mindsets. And I think really there's two of those. And it really comes back to loving God and loving others. Mm-hmm. And so why don't you talk about, you know, a way to engage with like loving God well over this weekend?
Yes, I would love to talk about that, the top one of our list.
No, the second one of the list.
The second one
of the list. Yeah, I was skipping ahead. You love God first.
Okay. One way to love God over fall retreat is to be intentional about your own devotion and engagement with the Lord. So many of the people listening to this, you may have been lately fully in invitation mode, praying for people to say yes, for God to convict them of just the worthiness of risking for a weekend. But I think the first way to win at fall retreat is, it's just important to have our eyes open to what God has for us. To prioritize even. Mm-hmm. It might sound weird to say that, but to prioritize our own engagement with what God brings up in our own lives over the retreat. We can only lead people insofar as we're impacted and engaged with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So the people that are going to win the most, keep coming back into winning. It's not about winning.
No.
Are the people that are actually encountering God.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what you said when you mentioned that God has something for each one that's going to be coming to the mm-hmm. retreat. And being intentional and prioritizing that, man, I love it when people are like willing to just take a break and just say, hey, I actually need to go and process or go engage with something that God's bringing up. And so don't feel like you have to be so much thinking about other people that you forget or miss out on something God has for you. So that's super important. Don't want to miss that.
Yeah.
And that brings me to the second point, which is a good way to love others. Big picture, I would just say look for, really be willing to like look for and sacrifice for new people, whether it's new people to your community, they've already been a part of the church, but they've transitioned to a new team, or if they're brand new to the church. This is just a huge opportunity where people are wanting to belong and wanting to know that they matter. And we just have an incredible power to really include and welcome people in the community with just a simple invitation even to, you know, sit at, you know, a table at lunch with
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
And so I want to encourage you guys to just look out for someone. If there's someone that seems to be, you know, a little bit more off on their own, you might be in like a fun social interaction, but feel free to just like scan the room and just look, man, is there someone who looks like they could use an invitation to friendship, to be a part of the fun that's going on? And so, yeah, in general, be willing to prioritize your own relationship, but also just be willing to look out for others and really even, I want to say, sacrifice for others. A retreat can be so fun, but I think that it could be easy to just be caught up and concerned with how can I even get the most out of the retreat? How can I ride with the people I want to steak and shake or sit by the people I want to, like mm-hmm. my best friends who I know, rather than be willing to think about, oh, how could I be a part of helping make this experience great for someone else?
Yeah. And you're going to know the moment, I think, when it comes, because you're going to get that feeling where you clearly have the thought in your mind, I could choose to sacrifice right here, and it's not what I would choose to do if I didn't have the Holy Spirit rumbling inside me to say, what if I did this instead? What if I didn't go with the crush I have on my new life team and instead focused on the new person and got to know them on this car ride? Or, I mean, God forbid, but, you know, someone is going through something really hard that God brought up, and it means I miss 3/4 of the football tournament. Is it worth it?
Yes. The answer is yes. Yeah.
I was making sure that you were going to say yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Cool.
Absolutely. So in addition to, you know, having an eye out, for others, I think one of the best things you can do to win a fall retreat, is to pursue making memories. It's the kind of thing that you guys know too, how fun it is to like look back on fall retreats or spring breaks or small groups in the past. And you have these stories and these experiences, of something really funny or an adventure. And I don't know, it takes like investment and willingness to strike out and try something crazy.
Oh, totally. Make sure that, you know, in the memory making, we would advise you, you know, don't do anything illegal, no illegal memories, or too dangerous in the memories that you seek to make. But really, other than those things, maybe not unethical either, but you know, it wouldn't be illegal, but
yeah, do it in faith.
Other That's than those important. Things, that the world is open to you. I think of the food eating challenges, the late night hot tub experiences,
even though it's usually not even super it's hot.
Technically, yeah.
It's a warm tub.
Yeah, warm tub. And yeah, I mean, I just have a lot of these moments in memories of my own life. One year, my small group and I went back to the bunkhouse and played Risk until early in the morning.
There you go.
And we were just really into Risk, and that was a good memory.
So as you were saying, not illegal, I feel bad because one time I totally got pulled over on the way back from getting pizza at this retreat.
That was at the old place.
It was Machindo, and honestly, it was like the lanes were weird. Yeah. I wasn't even speeding or anything.
To trap people.
They totally thought we were up to no good.
They did. They thought we were total hooligans, and we were like, no, we're on a church trip. We're just going to McDonald's because it's the closest place that's open, and we're hungry.
Yeah.
I remember that.
That was an illegal one, but it made a memory, but I didn't go out trying to do something illegal, and so maybe that's where the line is.
Sure.
You don't even get close to the line, you guys. Just have fun, though. Okay, let's talk a little bit about kind of as you're going through the retreat, the different components of the retreat, maybe some tips and tricks about different aspects of it. So let's talk about like the services or the sessions.
Yeah, so the schedule's going to be pretty standard to years past if you've been before, but we're going to have a Friday night session. We're going to have a Saturday morning sort of shorter session, and then a Saturday night session. One of the ways to really make the most of those is really use the time before and after those sessions to prepare your own heart, to have a conversation with someone that you don't know as well, or just want to like ask them what they have experienced so far at the retreat. I think sometimes It's like other people, like the body of Christ, asking us questions that sparks something that God wanted to do in our lives. And it can just take someone's curiosity. And so, yeah, I guess you make the most of the opportunities in the sessions and also around the sessions to be, I guess, the phrase that keeps coming into my mind, and I've shared this with some folks on Hill Central, but is just have like wide open Holy Spirit eyes for where God's moving.
Yeah, I even like what you said about it, sometimes like the body asking us questions can be really helpful, because I think it can take something from, wow, that was really impactful, that was really good, into, what does it mean? You know, leaving that space, what is something, a way that you can respond even? I feel like sometimes I've gotten caught up in just asking people, oh, how, what'd you think of session? Oh, yeah, it was good. Yeah. And then you're just like, okay, sweet.
Yeah.
Let's go to lunch.
Okay. Well, big gulps, huh?
Yeah. So all right. It can be good to kind of ask more questions about, yeah, what was a takeaway? Is there anything you want to do as a result of it, or anything that kind of caught your attention?
What bothered you?
Well, that's a good one. That is a good one. And knowing that Kyle's talking, I'm sure something will bother them. I mean, I'm just kidding. A little shout out, Kyle Chase. All right. Outside of before and after session times, the meal times are is a great opportunity, I feel like, for befriending and also for follow up, like getting a good conversation maybe with someone from small group. Maybe something stood out to you and you could chat with them. You know, I have to say, there's sometimes that awkward, like you go to a table with two people at the table. They're like intensely like talking and you're kind of like, oh gosh. Is this like a private conversation? Should I interrupt or not? That can be awkward sometimes.
It can.
I say just go up and ask and don't feel bad at being like, oh, you guys having your own conversation?
Sometimes people wanting private conversations do a real good job of making it, this is a private conversation.
Yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
It's less clear and, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask.
That's fine. Outside of those situations, I would say try to make room at your tables. I feel like especially if there's, you know, maybe someone is a little further behind, there's not a typical, you know, the right amount of chairs, pull up a chair, and then at some point that table's gonna be so packed that someone's gonna have to lead the charge in like starting a new table, like for your team or your group. You know what I'm talking about, Jack? We call that multiplication around here. But that's a good way to, you know, have eyes to see, be willing to say, all right, I'll leave this table and go grab this group, you know, this group of two or whatever, so that there's a little bit more critical mass and good conversation. I think it's a good opportunity as well.
Totally. And what that makes me think of is, if you didn't know this, listener, there's going to be 8 campuses represented on this weekend. I'm not going to list them all right now. It would take too much time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this might not be for everybody. You don't have to do this, but sit with people you don't know from another campus. Ask people from Western Michigan or from Michigan State or from Wayne State if you can join and get to know them. You don't have to do that. You know, there might be a cap on the number of new people you can meet and form meaningful relationships with, but it is an opportunity to get to know people, and mealtimes are excellent spaces for that.
Awesome. All right. Lastly, let's talk about football. I feel like that can take up a large portion of Saturday, and I've seen in my day some things on the football field go awry. Let's talk a little bit about maybe some good mindsets to have about this this competitive fun thing of the football tournament.
Yes, those were important words you just used. Competitive and fun. You know what makes it not fun? Two competitive people. T-O-O.
Yeah, and I was going to say like two.
Right.
Were you going to talk about like me and...
T-O-W, two competitive people. Like they're overly competitive.
T-O-W is toe.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Number two and people that are over and above competitive. That makes it less fun.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't going to use you as an example.
Okay.
So just remember you're playing a game. You know, it's one thing to say like it's just a game to someone who like is a fan of real life like NFL football or something, which it's like kind of just a game, but it's also people's livelihood. It's not ours. I have a lot of fun, but the most fun I have is when I get to see like someone new come into the game because we're all on a team and we had some crazy pump up speech and they sacked the quarterback. And it's like, that was amazing.
Oh yeah.
So, don't take it too seriously. That's my first tip for football. What about you?
It is a great, time to celebrate and encourage people. There are so many people who don't play football regularly, and I have loved the times where they've been able to get in the game, and just I feel like after every play, just trying to find someone, be like, hey, this was great. Hey, great job. That was awesome. Some of my like favorite things has been getting after the football tournament and like talking to some people going into it who didn't know what they thought, who like weren't, you know, hadn't played football before, aren't too competitive. Mm-hmm. And they were like, that was so fun. And it's just like, you have to try really hard, I feel like, to like make that space that they can have fun.
Oh yeah.
And so I feel like lightheartedness and then celebrating and congratulating and encouraging people, it's actually a place where I've seen it really like bond a team and really encourage each other.
Totally. A lot of great memories on the football field. It is a place for that. I mean, God can work in it, and it can be this beautiful picture of teamwork and people laying down their lives for friends and choosing to overlook offenses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the irony in what we're talking about is if none of that happens and all of us just went out trying to mercilessly beat the other team and be sticklers about the rules and not treat it as fun. And then as a result, we like won the tournament because we were so much of a stickler. Yeah, you didn't win. That's what happened.
You may have won the tournament, but you lost fall retreat.
Yeah.
And we really are bringing it all back together about how to win a fall retreat.
Yeah.
So you heard it here. Love God, love others. You know, be intentional about your devotion, engagement with the Lord over the weekend. Look for, see people, and be willing to sacrifice for people. And you're going to win a fall retreat.
Going to be a winner.
Going to be a winner. So looking forward to spending that time with you all and for the next opportunity to make a podcast episode.
It's a privilege to equip you.
Here we go. Have a great weekend.